Welcome back, everyone, to the Cancer Survivor Show, brought to you by the Chemo Girls. I'm Lucy, and we are just continuing to have a great time here in Nashville, Tennessee, where everybody says y'all instead of you all. And we are at the National Women's Survivors Conference, and I am honored and pleased to have a celebrity with us today. And I'm going to have to introduce her to the listening audience, all of you that are looking in today on this interview. We don't need any introduction, but we have Tabitha Coffee, our Bravo star today. And we were thrilled when she said, sure, I'll come down for an interview.
Absolutely.
Tabitha and her group are here providing makeovers for cancer survivors, making them feel beautiful and empowered and looking at the rest of their life, right, through
Absolutely, and it's so important.
It's so important to feel good because you have so many moments where you don't feel good, obviously, going through this process, that it's important to feel good and feel as beautiful as you can and feel all the things that you want to feel.
Excellent. Thank you so much for spending a couple of minutes with
us.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, when I learned that we were going to have the absolute honor of interviewing you, I had to take a moment and breathe. I was worried about my roots and my frizz, but you're so delightful, and this has really been a pleasure already being able to get to know you for just a moment. The first thing I wanted to talk with you about, I guess, is really my own personal experience. You know, we spoke earlier, I had always had very long hair, and it was my security blanket, and my friends and family, I believe, were concerned about what kind of reaction I was going to have when my hair came out. And for me, in some ways, it was really quite liberating, strangely, and even enjoyed being bald. I enjoyed super short hair, who knew? And so I know you have clients and such. Can you talk a little bit about the reaction that you see from women?
Yeah, it's fascinating because sometimes people have the reaction that you had where it is liberating and it's freeing and it's a chance to try something new and it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. And then other people seem more concerned about their hair than their diagnoses.
Yeah.
And that's fascinating as well. And both are right. It depends on the person.
Yeah, right.
I think so much identity is tied up around our hair.
I think so.
And I think that for so many women, it's losing that and kind of showing to everyone that there's no hiding it then.
Yeah.
There's no hiding, you know, I have cancer.
It's totally wrong. It's right there.
It is very
You know, and it doesn't matter whether it's a hat or a scarf or even a wig.
Yes.
Everyone's going to know. And I think that's the problem, the hurdle to overcome. It's not so much the hair, it's kind of that acknowledgement. But, you know, a lot of clients, it gives them permission to have fun and experiment and play and, you know what, color it a color that you would never do before. Go platinum blonde if that's what you've always wanted. I've had clients go hot pink. You know, just let's do something fun and let's go crazy and do something fun that I'll never do because it's okay that I do it now.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really great, freeing, liberating thing, depending on what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to do that, and it's okay to have some fun with it, and it's okay to laugh.
Oh, yes, and that's really important to us, interjecting joy. And I think that women do very often find so much identity in your hair that there is such a fear of losing yourself when it goes. But when you're able to shift your perspective from identifying in something that... I mean, it's transient.
It gives you permission to identify who you really are and not just what you look like.
Yeah, it really does. And look, it is such a hard thing, and I understand it, but I think if you look at it as a way to be able to change and to have fun and to experiment a little bit and to maybe try something that you've always thought in the back of your mind, I'd love to try that, but I don't really
get a little
want
adventurous.
Or what if someone's going to, you know, say something about it? It really does give you permission to do that, and I think that can be really freeing and fun and liberating as well.
Right.
Well, to change that tone a little bit, I think that you have a personal story with a close encounter, a person in your life with cancer. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience with your mom?
My mom was diagnosed with cancer, and as most people do, my mother had two huge fears in life. One was death, so death freaked her out, and the other was cancer. Mm-hmm. And we had no idea it was coming. It was a misdiagnosis, mm-hmm. and she had stage 4 cancer.
Wow.
So it was obviously a shock to her. It was something that was really hard for her.
Really?
There was nothing that could really be done. Chemo didn't work. We tried different things and nothing was really working. So it was just keeping her at home and taking care of her and going as long as we could. And it was obviously terrible, but it was an amazing thing because she was so incredibly strong.
Was she?
And I didn't think I would be, but I ended up being being strong. And I was filming. I was actually filming a season of my show, and I kept saying, I'm coming home, I'm coming home. And she never wanted me to come home. She wanted me to keep working, and she waited for me to come home. So, I mean, look, it was amazing. It's such a hard thing to do. It's such a hard thing to be the person to take care of the person. Mm-hmm. And it's hard when it starts to go badly, and hers did get to that point going badly, and you kind of think you prepare yourself and you don't. But, you know, for me it was very important to keep her at home, to take care of her myself, mm-hmm. to have hospice come in when it was time, to have a nurse come in, and really just, you know, make her as comfortable and happy as she could be.
Well, it's kind of like life. I mean, life can be wonderful and horrible, mm-hmm. but it's rich, and it's really a condensed, you know, lovely and relationship building and yet a loss. So what advice would you give to caregivers who are trying to take care of a loved one? What would you say to them?
That it's really bloody hard.
Yeah.
You know, I think the thing that happens, and it happened to me, is it's very, and it will happen, is very easy to get lost. So I found that I got lost in taking care of her.
Yeah.
And, you know, I actually woke up one day and I had started to lose my hair, and my hair had started to fall out from stress and from not eating properly and from not sleeping properly. So I think you have to find that balance, and it's a hard thing. Sometimes you have to step away, and that's not being selfish.
Right.
That's just replenishing yourself for a minute. You know, it doesn't matter what it is, a cup of tea, read a magazine, go and have a glass of wine, whatever it is that you need to do for your own psyche, you need to kind of do that for a minute, and no one will judge you badly on that. But it's something that I think when you're in that, I found that I wouldn't sleep and I'd sit there all the time and I'd watch her and I'd check the clock and I'd do all of these things, which caregivers do, but you have to kind of go, okay, I need to sleep as well.
Yeah.
I need to step away, and you need to make sure that you find that time.
Because you're not doing her any good, or that person that you're taking care of any good if you're not taking care of yourself.
You're really not. You have to find that balance, whether that's getting someone else in or finding someone else that you can swap out with. You need to take care of yourself.
Well, that's part of what we do this podcast for, is not just the patient, but the people that are taking care of them and addressing the issues that they need as well.
It affects everyone.
Thank you so much for being us today. It was just lovely meeting
me.
Us. I'm going to come let you cut my hair real short one day.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. We are having an awesome time. I want everybody out there to plan on coming to Nashville next year for the second annual National Women's Survivors Conference, because it will enrich and empower your life. So until then, we're not just surviving, but thriving with you. Take care.
Bye.
See y'all.